Hallelujah. You may be seated. It's just so rich in the presence of the Lord. He's so good to us, and I just sitting there worshiping, I just felt the waves of the Spirit flowing, and it's just nothing like being in the presence of the Lord. It is such an We're so privileged to have a God that loves us so very much. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord put a message on my heart about New Testament church function. And you've probably noticed that we're not a whole lot of churches. And the Lord has blessed us in developing a New Testament church government with plural ministry. And we're going to be looking at the scripture, what it has to say about the ministry that God has raised up in the church. We're going to read Ephesians 4, 11 through 14. And this is talking, Jesus talking, and he himself, Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. To a perfect man, to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. So people don't decide what they want to be, but as people yield to the Holy Spirit and God develops them into the vessel that he, of his choosing. You know, it's like in the Protestant churches, the normal thing is if they lose a pastor, they will, the denomination will send different pastors as available in, and they'll preach, and then the congregation will vote on what pastor they want. But that really isn't. God is the one that calls ministers and sets them up in the church. Okay, when did God give gifts? Ephesians 4:8 says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. So when he ascended, when he won the victory and was raised from the dead and he ascended, he gave gifts to men, and he gave the spiritual gifts of the ministry. And why did he give them? Down in verse 12 that we just read, it said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So the ministry gifts that God gives the church are to edify or build up the church. And for how long is this going to last? Verse 13 says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And, you know, we're not there yet. So we still need the fivefold ministry. We still need all of the ministry gifts in the church until we come to the measure of the fullness of Christ. Amen. The five ministry gifts that we just read about, and we're going to go into other gifts in a little while, but the five ministry gifts can be called the hand ministry. And the first one is the apostle, and the apostle is to govern, and it's the thumb. And in the Greek, the apostle means a delegate, specifically an ambassador of the gospel, officially a commissioner of Christ. And there's various functions. An apostle is a father or one who births a work of God, and like Calvin birthed Faith Ministries. God gave him the going forth in a new ministry of faith, and he birthed a ministry in his heart. It's an apostle can be someone with oversight of churches or ministries, or a missionary, one sent by God. And the only thing the Lord ever told Calvin was, He said, God, what I'm called, I know I'm called, what am I? And he says, call yourself a missionary. You're a missionary. So he's called as a missionary. And an apostle may function in any or all of the ministry gifts. And then the prophet is the index finger, and the prophet points the way. See, that way. Go that way, go that way. The prophet tells where we're going. It points the way. The prophet ministry works very close with the apostolic ministry. You know, the apostle is the thumb. The prophet is the index finger. And how many times do you pick up something, you know, move something with your thumb and index finger? And so they work awesome, very close together. In big ministries, we see a lot of apostles and prophets that work together. For example, Dutch Sheets is an apostle. Chuck Pierce is a prophet, and they work side by side and work together a lot, and so that's common. The prophet's ministry is inspirational. He speaks by direct divine inspiration and revelation relating either to future events or to the mind of the Spirit in general. And God has called all of his children to prophesy. In Acts, he said, I wish you would all prophesy. In Corinthians, he says, I wish you'd all prophesy. So there's everyone that's born again and filled with the Spirit can prophesy, but there's a difference in the gift, the ministry gift of a prophet and prophesying. But it's like a prophet sees the vision, sees where we're going. I believe that Nina has a prophetic gift upon her. I believe that's her, one of her gifts, or her gift as a minister. And the evangelist is the middle finger, and it's the longest one. It reaches further. The evangelist reaches out. It goes further. It reaches out. And the word evangelist means one who brings good news or a messenger of good tidings. Hallelujah. And really, everybody in the body of Christ is called to be evangelist and bring good news to everyone we meet. Amen. But there is a special anointing, a gift of evangelist. The pastor is to guard, and the ring finger represents the pastor, and a pastor is married to the church. It's like they're connected. A pastor loves and cherishes and feeds the flock. He watches over them. He cares for them. I see a strong pastoral anointing on Mitch. I just see that relationship in him of caring for the body. And so, and then the teacher is the little finger, and the little finger brings balance to the hand. The little finger also, you can open up your ear. You know, it brings hearing. You just let you hear. And if I was to be one of the gifts, I think I have an anointing to be a teacher. I love to dig in the Word of God and teach the Word. It's just something that I love. But all of these gifts are referred to many times in the Scripture as elders or bishops when it's talking about the ministers. And nowadays we would say preachers or ministers. Ministers would be our more common thing to call any of the ministry gifts to the church. And what ministry gifts do, we're going to read in 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13. Paul told them that an elder was one who labored among them and admonished them with the word, and that was the work of the elder. And so ministers minister the word and work among the people. And ministers have the anointing or capacity to direct services, feed the flock, both individually and corporately. We're going to read 1 Peter 5, 1 through 3, and this is going to be in the Passion Translation. Most of my scriptures are New King James, so I'm going to try to tell you if we're using a different one so you'll know where it's coming from. Okay, now I encourage you as an elder, an eyewitness of the sufferings of Christ, and one who shares in the glory that is about to be unveiled. I urge my fellow elders among you to be compassionate shepherds who tenderly care for God's flock and who feed them well, for you have the responsibility to guide, to protect, and oversee. Consider it a joyous pleasure and not merely a religious duty. Lead from the heart under God's leadership, not as a way to gain finances dishonestly, but as a way to eagerly and cheerfully serve. So ministers are really called to be servants or to serve. Don't be controlling tyrants, but lead others by your beautiful examples to the flock. Sheep are led. You know, cattle are driven. You can get behind cattle and drive them. But sheep don't drive. They only lead. And so the ministry job is to walk right before the Lord and walk in a pleasing way. And the sheep will follow. That's the sheep's nature, is to follow the shepherd. In a marriage, the wife's told to submit or adapt herself to her husband, and the husband's not told to take authority over his wife, but he's told to love his wife as Christ loved the church. And it's like when the ministry gifts is like the husband or the man. And when the ministry is following the leading of the Holy Spirit, it's the congregation's place to adapt themselves to the direction of the Lord through the ministries of the church. A minister should not use his gift to control and manipulate people, but he does use his authority to protect and guide the sheep. We're going to read 2 Timothy 4:2, and this is the Passion Translation. It says, "Proclaim the word of God and stand upon it no matter what. Rise to the occasion and preach when it's convenient and when it's not. Preach in the full expression of the Holy Spirit with wisdom and patience as you instruct and teach the people." A minister's job is to minister, like whether he feels like it or not. You know, you're responsible to feed the sheep and take care of the sheep. And it's like in a home, it's the parents' job to train a child if they want it to grow up to be a healthy adult. You have to teach and train your children as they grow if you want them to grow up and be a healthy adult. Every two-year-old wants to run the house, and they have to just find out, well, that's not my place. But it's a process because that's their normal. Every two-year-old goes through that. There should be honor for a ministry leader or minister, but they shouldn't be worshipped. We only worship God. We don't worship the gift. We worship God who gave the gift. Amen? And I know there have been people go astray because of the charisma of the leader. They would begin to worship him and follow him and end up doing crazy, wild things. And so there's to be an honor to the ministers, but we worship God. We don't worship any of the ministry gifts. Amen. Matthew 20, 26 through 28. It says, "Yet it shall not be so among you, for whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So being a minister isn't something that gives you clout. It's something that you're a servant. You know, Kenneth Hagin always said, how do you spell ministry? W-O-R-K. And so, you know, when we're ministers, we're not over anyone, but we're servants, and we're serving and bringing God's word. Always important to be service-minded, not position-minded. When Paul the Apostle called the elders of the church, he said to them in Acts 20:28, "Therefore take heed to yourself and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." And then in John, we all know the story in John, it's when the Lord asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Three times he asked Peter, "Do you love me? Do you love me?" And then he told him, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep." And so God calls people that love him. And then he asks them to feed his sheep. 1 Corinthians 12:28 tells us that about some of the ministry of helps and those who operate in the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to read that. 1 Corinthians 12:28, and it says, "And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, variety of tongues." And now we're going to go on and read Romans 12, 4 through 8 and see other definitions of ministries. "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who lends with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." We're going to take a little bit of time to look at some of these gifts that we have just read about in these two scriptures. We've already looked at apostles, prophets, teachers. There's variety of tongues, and we know that God wants everyone that's been born again to receive the gift of tongues or the gifts of speaking in other language. And that's one of the gifts of the Spirit. That was what was poured out in Acts. And tongues are really powerful. It's like when you pray in tongues, it's the Spirit praying through you. And sometimes in our own mind, we don't know what to pray for like we should, but the Spirit always knows how to pray. And going with speaking in tongues is interpretation of tongues. And many times when we're praying in tongues and we just keep praying in tongues, God wants to give us the words in English so we'll know what we were praying about. And we many times will receive answers to our questions. And I know a lot of times when I've been praying in tongues and it just begins to flow in an interpretation, I'm just really worshiping God. Sometimes when we pray in tongues, we're just worshiping God. You know, it's just the praises of the Lord coming out of our hearts. And sometimes the Holy Spirit prays particular things and we find insight into a need or something, a problem, the Holy Spirit has the answer to those questions. And so when we pray in the Spirit, we can also hear what the Spirit is praying for. There's prophecy, and we know in Corinthians it says, "I wish you all would prophesy." When we prophesy, we are speaking forth God's words. And God's words have power, and they cause things to change. It's like when God's word is spoken, there's creative power in it, and things in the atmosphere begin to change. And God wants all of us using that word of prophecy that God will speak through us. And as he speaks through us, it's changing things because his word is powerful and creative and anointed. Hallelujah. We're agreeing with God when we prophesy. And miracles, you know, God's a God of miracles. Just he's a God of miracles. And I believe he wants all of his children operating in miracles and gifts of healing. God commanded all believers go and heal the sick. You know, so that's something he wants for all. But there's sometimes gifts of healing. In the listing of the gifts of the Spirit, it lifts gifts of healing. And in my life, I've seen where certain people seem to just have an anointing for healing certain things. We had an evangelist once in Moctezuma that was just anointed to heal teeth, and people were just getting new teeth all over the place, and they had an anointing. And there's people that have an anointing for new hearts and healing hearts. And so however God wants to pour out the gifts, we want them any way they come. Amen? But he healing is real, and it's right there, and it's in the Spirit. And then there's list helps as a ministry. And helps is the ministry of serving. It meets practical needs. It's like, in any body of believers, there's a lot of need for help in ushers and working in with the children and working in the kitchen and just doing lots of things that always need doing. But Calvin, he's a missionary, but in being missionaries, a lot of our work in Mexico is a ministry of helps to the pastors. We find out what God has called them to do and what is on their heart to do, and we get behind them and help them do what God's called them to do. And so I think really all of God's people are called to the ministry of helps, helping one another fulfill our calls and what we need to do, helping in the church. And then there is administration. Those was one of the ministry gifts, and in many operations, someone has to take the lead. Like when we have Vacation Bible School, it would just be a big confusion if we didn't have someone over the top organizing it all and gathering the workers and gathering the materials and giving people places and things to do. So administration is one of the ministry gifts that you can get a job done. Exhortation is one of the ministry gifts. It means to encourage, lift up, urge, admonish, persuade, advise. And so we are all to be encouragers and help lift up people. The gift of exhortation is practical. It's related to life and gives useful and realistic applications to enhance the abundant life for others. And then there's people that's called to share or give. Actually, all of us are called to give. But givers are motivated to give of themselves and what they have to the Lord's work to ensure the success of God's plan. And I know that's one of our callings is to be givers. You know, we say, God, we want to be channels for your blessing to flow through. And we give, and there's a saying that if God can get money through you, he can get money to you. So giving is a ministry gift. Hallelujah. And then showing mercy. We all are called to show mercy and to love people. You know, God was merciful to every one of us. We are in his mercy and in his calling, and it's just so precious. We're going to read Acts 6, 1 through 7. And it says, now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It's not desirable that we should leave the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed and laid their hands on them, then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. And so here's a sample of setting people apart to help with a need in the church, in the body. And when people stepped up and were anointed to serve, here it was they were serving the widows in their community. But when they stepped up to do their job and the apostles kept preaching and teaching, the church multiplied greatly. You know, people... when you have everyone working together, things run smoother. Hallelujah. The different ministry gifts are like the cogs on a wheel. They work together. And when you have gears, what we might call gears or cogs on a wheel, you need grease to help in there so that they go smooth and function better. But the different ministry gifts are like cogs on a wheel. And love is the oil that keeps them turning smoothly. People working together in love equals a church on the move. These three gears represent Jesus the head working together with the fivefold ministry gifts and the ministry of helps. Every member of the family should help with the function of the church. In a home, children who grow up with responsibilities and learning how to do things function better when they become adults. In homes where the parents do everything and don't let the kids help, well, the kids grow up and they leave home and they have no idea how to run a home. It's important that children learn how to do everything that's done in the house. Hallelujah. And it helps the running of the house, but it helps them mature. And people in a church that work grow. You know, they grow where they can then do more and more in the kingdom of God. And so we need everybody involved in helping in some way in the church. It's healthy. In Ephesians 5:21 and then in 6:2, Paul compares the relationship of a husband and wife with Christ and the church. So Christ is the husband. He's the anointed one, and the church is the body of believers. And so the Holy Ghost is the one that calls and anoints ministers to be used as God's gifts to the church. And these ministers are operating as Christ ambassadors in the church. And so the ministers take the spiritual position of the man or of Christ. And the church that's the receiving takes the position of the woman, you know, no matter what is gender, because when it's the Holy Ghost speaking, it's the man, it's Christ. It's the God speaking through man. Amen. Something 1 Corinthians 14:34 tells us that women are to be silent in the church. But there's numerous other places that indicate that women are to be used in ministry gifts. Like your sons and your daughters are to prophesy, and prophesying is speaking forth the word of the Lord. And there's multiple places in the Old and New Testament where God used women in ministry gifts. And I believe that it's when God is using a woman, it's just like the presence, that God is speaking through her, or Christ is speaking through her. And so there's a lot more examples in the Word about God using women in the ministry gifts than the one scripture that had forbid it, and which had to do some with their culture and their at that time. But I see God using women in ministry all the time now. There's a lot of mighty women of God that He's raising up. Amen. Matthew 18:16 says that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So it's good when you're looking at any subject to look through the whole Bible, you know, see what is it saying all over the place. Amen. And so we are really blessed in this church to have a plural ministry, that we just flow together and work together, and we have many ministers working within our church, and it's just... it's really a blessing, because I believe that we get a bigger picture of God's heart. We get a balanced meal. You know, it's just like we hear what we need to hear from the Lord. Amen. You know, God primarily uses the ministers to teach His word and administrate in a service, but everybody's called to give testimonies, you know, and sometimes we open this up for testimonies. And when people give a testimony, it builds others' faith to receive from God. When you hear what God did for this for me, it increases faith. So God wants all of us to give testimony of His working and His goodness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians 4:16 says, from the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, it causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And so every person in the body is to do its share, and it causes the growth of the body. And that causes us to be edified or built up in love. 1 Corinthians 8:1 tells us that love edifies. There's an old saying that says, I don't care how much you know until I know how much you care. And so love always completes. It never competes. We're not in competition with one another. We're here to complete one another. Philippians 2:3 says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. 1 Corinthians 16:14 tells us, let all that you do be done with love. We're going to read 1 Peter 4:8, and it says, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. You know, there's not any Christians that's perfect. There's not any people that's perfect. We all have our flaws, sometimes we just don't act right, whatever, but love covers, love completes. Love just blends us together. Amen. Hebrews 3:13 tells us to exhort one another daily. We're to encourage and build one another up. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We're going to read Psalms 92, 13, and 14. It says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bear fruit in old age, and they shall be fresh and flourishing. Hallelujah. When we are in the presence of the Lord, and when we're under His words, we prosper, we flourish, we grow in the things of the Lord. There's a lot of people that have completely got out of the habit of ever going to church, and they just sit home and they'll maybe watch a preacher on TV, and that's good, you can get some word. But God designed the church to grow as a body. And we can't grow to our full ability unless we're part, a working part of a local body of people, because God designed that we function and grow together in our serving the Lord together. Every believer is called to the ministry of reconciliation or soul winner, bringing people to the Lord, presenting Jesus. Mark 16, Matthew 28 gives the great commission to all believers, and we're all called to give testimony of Jesus and to heal the sick, to cast out devils. Hallelujah. But we are a body. You know, Jesus is the head, but the head gave ministry gifts, but then He also gave gifts among the church, and we're to function together as a body and serve one another. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank You. Lord, I thank You for the ministry gifts that You have raised up in this body of believers. I thank You for the powerful anointing that's here. I thank You, Lord, for the individual anointing of each minister that we have, the individual anointing of each person in this congregation that causes us to grow and function. Lord, we want more of You. We want more of Your presence and Your Spirit. And we thank You, Lord, that You have brought us together and You are raising us up as a New Testament congregation to function with multiple ministry gifts, Lord, and we are richer and blessed for it. Lord, we just thank You. I bless everyone in our congregation. Lord, I thank You for Your presence in our midst. I thank You, Lord, we desire Your presence in our midst. We so desire and love when Your presence comes. And Lord, we just thank You. We thank You. We thank You. We bless this community of people, Lord. We cover this body of people with Your blood. We thank You, Jesus, that we're under the covering of the Almighty. We thank You, Lord, that Your presence will hover around every person that's part of this church, that comes to this church, Lord. We pray for a hovering of the Spirit of the Lord, that we, as a congregation, as a people, will abide under the shadow of the Almighty, protected from harm. We thank You, Lord, that even when the enemy comes with things against us, Lord, that You turn it around and You give us the victory, that the victory is ours in Christ Jesus, and that You will fight our battles for us as we come into that secret place of the Most High. We thank You, Lord. We cover our church family with the blood of Jesus and the presence of the Lord. We ask that the presence of God hover around each individual, and that Your presence will will overthrow any plan of the enemy, any attack that the enemy would bring. We thank You, Father, for Your mighty presence. We thank you, Father, for giving all of us a greater hunger for you, to fellowship with you. We have hunger for your word, a hunger, and just a full and a free praise and fellowship and honor to you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If there's anyone that has a particular need you'd like prayer for tonight, I'd like to pray for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. I just bless this congregation in your name. I thank you, Lord, for giving us dreams and visions from heaven. I thank you, Jesus, for miracles, miracles, miracles. We thank you, Lord, for gifts of healing operating in our ministry and in this church, Lord, and all over town, Lord. We just thank you for the harvest. We thank you for this town, for your presence moving and working and blessing and wooing and drawing people unto Jesus. We give you the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you all.